Amen. All right. So before I read, we read a few scriptures here. There's something that I want to kind of mention to you. You know, one of the major ways in which God reveals himself to us is in his word. Many times when people think about having a revelation of God or knowing God more, we usually, many times, we don't think that can happen through his word. Many times we think of having a spectacular experience. We see an angel. We have a visitation, which is great. I personally, in my life, I'm humbled to say that I have had a lot of spectacular experiences. But I have also learned you have to be careful how you deal with spectacular experiences, because you have to be able to interpret them right. And you need the Holy Spirit to help you. I remember one time I was very sick years and years and years ago. I was really sick, so badly sick. And it has something to do with my whatever organs, internal organs and things, all of this stuff going on. And I'll never forget, this was 1986 or 1987. I actually had a night vision while I was in this sickness, while this sickness was on. It was a really bad sickness. I had this night vision where I saw a trance and I saw angels coming from heaven and operating on me. Actually opening me up. I saw the surgeons. I saw they opened up my physical body. They were stitching things. They were there. They were doing all of that. And of course, after that experience, I woke up. Of course, shortly after that, I was healed of that sickness, whatever it was. I mean, spectacular experiences are awesome when you have them. Have a visitation in the night. Have God demonstrate his word. I'll never forget. It was probably in the first year of my Christian experience. First year of my Christian experience in 1982. And I had been taught, you know, they had taught us, because I was new to this. I came from a Muslim family. I didn't really know any of this stuff. So everything they told us, I received hook, line, and sinker. I had no religion. I had no Christian. You know, people, if you've gone to church all your life and then somebody starts telling you stuff, you're like, I've heard it before. This is one of the biggest reasons why people don't grow. It's one of the biggest reasons why many people don't grow in the faith today. Because they've heard, you know. So when they hear it again, they're like, I heard that before. But if you have not heard it before, and, you know, you are so impressionable, you are a young person, a teenager, and, you know, and you really take it serious, it really can be life-changing. And I remember had this experience. I was in this boarding school, and I think I've shared this in one of my messages over the years. Years ago, I may have. And I think, so there was this bad, really bad wind, you know, it's more like, you know, I don't know how to describe it. It's a cyclone, whatever, you know, and they have it, they usually have it on that particular campus, where we were. And we had heard stories of those things happening and taking some of the little kids. We've actually heard of kids disappearing on the campus of that school through those things happening. But I know that in some of our early morning devotions and Bible studies, these Christian leaders, some of the older people in the fellowship who had been in the faith for a while, had been teaching us. And I know one of the ones that stood out to me as a young Christian was this story where Jesus actually commanded the wind and said, "Peace be still." And as a young Christian, it just really was a big impression on me. And so this night, it was a night. And suddenly I was going, I think, from wherever I was, the dormitory, to wherever, to I don't know where I was, to the school store. Somehow I was caught in between, in the middle of nowhere, when this cyclone, when it came. And it was so bad, it was carrying everything in its sight, everything in its path. Thank you. I need help. And I'll never forget it. 1982, I will never forget it as long as I live. Suddenly, as that cyclone, as whatever, I don't know if that's what we call it, it was bad. As it started to, and everything was going, I was right in the middle of that thing, it was in the night. I suddenly remembered what those people taught us in the morning devotions about Jesus commanding the wind and saying, "Peace be still." I just remembered in that instance. And suddenly, I pointed my hand out like that to that thing. And I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you, peace be still. And bam, just like that. Suddenly, bam, everything stopped. Bam, just like that. I had not gone to Bible school. I was not a pastor. My first year of my Christian experience. So, God reveals himself in his word. Many times, the reason we fall short is because and all of these spectacular experiences, I mean, there have been many more over the years. Thank you, Lord, for them. But we don't look for those spectacular experiences if they come, praise God. And like I said, you have to be able to understand and interpret it right. Because sometimes we have these experiences and we don't know exactly what the Lord is trying to show us. And that's a problem. But in spite of all of these spectacular experiences, there is no experience as divine, as supernatural, that I have had in my own walk, in my journey as a child of God, as a Christian, and definitely in the ministry as a servant of God, that compares in any way to the outpouring of revelations through his word. None. I can tell you none. Sometimes when the revelation of God is flowing, sometimes under the heavy weight of it, I have to say, Lord, please, can you hold it a bit so I can learn something from this one and understand it before you give me more? Sometimes that rain is so heavy. God reveals himself through his word. So the more committed we are to the word of God, the more we embrace the word of God, the more we partner and fellowship with the word, the more God will reveal himself to us. Don't wait for, you know, you want to see an angel. Don't wait to see a vision of an open. Don't wait for all of that. Embrace the word. Really buy into the word. You know, have a strong covenant commitment to the word of God. And every time you take that word, let it be a divine appointment between you and your heavenly Father. Don't treat the word like, I just got to quickly read two verses and get going. Yeah, you can do that sometimes when you don't have time. Fine, you put two verses in. But then constantly, periodically in your life, make room where you just sit. Lord, I'm here. Show me, open my eyes to see, behold things out of your word. Lord, the Bible says the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to this. Lord, open my eyes, grant me, let the eyes of my understanding become enlightened, Father, so I can know. That's what Paul prayed, you know, in Ephesians 1:16. I pray that the eyes of your understanding, he said, I pray that God will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being open so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Amen. What are the riches of his inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of his power, which he exhibited when he raised Jesus from? See, all of these things come through knowledge because your eyes are suddenly open. So it's not religion. There are many people who deal with them. They carry the Bible, put it under the pillow. Somebody, you know, they read it like, you know, they follow, they recite. It's fine. You can do all of that. But you know what? Have a relationship with it. Have a relationship with it. This is so very important. There is nothing you will not have the ability to accomplish if you have a relationship. The word of God will break every barrier.
Yes.
Every. There is nothing. Through this word, I'm telling you. Through this word. I shared this before. I'll never forget. This was maybe a couple of years or so ago. You know, we were in court. Somebody had, you know, trying to create all sorts of issues for us. And, you know, we had to deal with it. Of course, I had to go represent the ministry in court. And it had something to do with one of our properties. And all the lawyers, so we had a conference of all the lawyers will come together and tell us what to do with this one. And everybody was saying, you know, it got so intense on one of those meetings, I decided, you know, I'll take Pastor Tinu. Let us hear some of these things. Because I know if I say it, you'll be like, ah, this is just blowing a lot of hot air. So I wanted somebody to hear, and I wanted her to hear. So I took her and went on, and we sat down in this, and she was hearing all these things. And, we had to make decisions and things and, this, that, didn't know what was the mind of God, what's the will of God. I shared this with some of our ministers a couple of years ago. And, hallelujah. I came into the office one of those days. Before I'd left after a Sunday service, I was playing one message on the screen. It was playing, so I paused it and left. And later in the week, I came back after all of this drama with all these attorneys telling us, there's just no way. You have to do this. If you don't do this, all these things they were saying. So, just didn't lie. Every day I'll say, Lord, show me. What do we need? Because I needed to make that decision. Nobody was going to make that decision. Lord, show me. What do you want? What's your will? What's your way? What's your plan? Show me. Open my eyes. Help me. And I'll never forget it. I got back in the office after all these meetings and drama. I think it was later in the day in the week. I'm not sure if it was a Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. I can't remember what it was. But I got in and picked the remote. That screen was still frozen where I paused it after service on Sunday when I left. And I picked the remote and pointed it towards the screen to play. And it started playing. And there was the voice of this man of God. He's late now. He's gone to heaven at Bishop Benson Idahosa. And right at that moment, when I pressed play, he pointed out from the screen, right out to me like that, and said, "Don't go back. Don't go." I'm using his thick Benin City, Nigeria accent. Just don't go back. Don't. This was it. That was the word I needed. Right there, I paused that thing, put the remote down. I had my answers. I called the attorneys. I said, "This is what we're doing." They said, "Are you crazy? Are you?" I said, "This is what we're doing." Long story short, within everything worked out exactly the way the Lord said. Exactly the way the Lord said. Where did the revelation of that answer come from? It was from the Word. I didn't see a vision. I didn't see an angel. I didn't know. It was the revelation of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory to God. Glory to God. All right, my time is going here. Let's read some scriptures here. So I encourage you, please, get very, and you can do this in your normal life. You don't have to, fast every day. Nobody fasts every day. You don't have to be you have to live a normal life as a human being on this earth. Right? You can just suddenly become a spirit because you want to be close to God, right? You have to live like every normal human being. You have to get in your car and drive. You have to open your food and eat, right? Yeah, turn on the TV and watch something, right? If you're excited about what you are seeing, you shout, if it's your favorite team playing. Just don't curse, because if you curse, the Holy Spirit will leave you. You can say, "Jesus, oh, you are Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When they missed the basket, they were supposed to score that thing to win the game. And then he bricked it. He said, "Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord." So what I'm trying to say is, you don't have to change your life because you want to be. You don't have to be this spooky person. You have to live a normal life. Amen. Live a normal life. And just trust God to help you. Amen. Now, I want you to look at a couple of these scriptures. My time is almost going now. So even what I thought I would do from this manuscript that was typed out, not manuscript, but transcribed message, I may not be able to do anything with it really because of time. But I still want to be able to say one or two things to you here and then read Genesis 15 before we take communion together. But I want you to look at this. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. God reveals himself through his word. You will know God more if you commit yourself to the word. If you do, you will know God more. This divine presence of God, divine dunamis, his power, and all the revelation, different things that God wants to do in our lives, it begins from his word. It all begins from. So become very close to the word of God. Hold it dear to you. Not just clutch your Bible around like, no, actually get into that Bible. Get into it. Open it and read it and keep quiet and let the Holy Spirit minister to you and go back and check and then study it. Get something that can help you compare one scripture to another. This is how you lay the foundation for growing in the word of God. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, and the child Samuel, look at it, the child Samuel, ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious, meaning scarce. Was precious in those days, there was no open vision. Some translations say there was no open revelation. God was not revealing himself. The word of God was scarce. People didn't know God. And if God doesn't reveal himself, it means people don't know him. People don't know what kind of person he is. Hallelujah. And you know, one of the ways you get to know God more is you know his ways. I know this past Wednesday I was teaching, well, as I was, you know, as I was doing that service, I was teaching and I went on this detour. Thank you. Yes. I went off what I was teaching and started talking about the timing of God. God being a God of timing and divine appointments and things like that. And I found myself apologizing and say, sorry, I digressed. And right there, when I did it the second time, out of my spirit, I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Wake that sister up. Online. Wake her up. I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, stop saying you digress. In talking about how God works and he operates, you are imparting the knowledge of God to people. It's not a digression. When you talk about God being a God of divine appointment, listen, if you are trying to get favor from this person, this whatever, some figure who has a lot of means or whatever, has something that you need for something, whatever. And you talk to people around them, they're assistants to this person, like you know, how do I? And they tell you, look, he's a timely person. He's a stickler for time. If he tells you 9 o'clock and you want to get it, be there by 9 o'clock. Or if you are trying to get a job or something, whatever it is, they tell you this person is a stickler for time. So if he tells you 9 o'clock, or she tells you 9 o'clock, be there by 9 o'clock. Well, what are you learning? You are learning the ways of that person. And in so doing, you are learning that person. You are knowing them. Knowing that God is a God of timing actually is gaining knowledge about God. That's not a digression. There are many people who don't understand. So knowing the ways of God helps you know God more. Amen. So it says in 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 1, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious or scarce in those days. There was no open vision. And then look at the last verse. It says, that's verse 21. It says, and the Lord again, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of God. Listen to this now. Listen to this. The Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh, not by a vision, not by seeing an angel, not by seeing open heaven and seeing the throne of God. No. By the word of the Lord. By the word of the Lord. The Amplified says, the Lord continued. Somebody say that word with me. The Lord continued. Say the Lord continued. Say it again. The Lord continued. He continued to appear in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh through the word of the Lord. Everything Samuel came to learn about God, as Samuel started to know God more, everything he started to learn about God, he learned through his word. God revealed, but it wasn't just the letter of the word. As Samuel read and as he went into the word, into the Torah and everything, and the Spirit of God will open his eyes and he will begin to get a revelation of the word of God. He was still human. He still did everything like a regular human being. You see the proof of that, because when God said to him, I want you to go to Jesse's house and anoint for me the next king, God didn't tell him who the king was. He just said, go to Jesse's house. Well, when he arrived at Jesse's house to anoint the next king, what did he see? He saw this tall guy. Handsome, dark. These are the dreams of that Pastor Tinu used to have before she married me. Tall guy. She kind of missed a little bit. She had to give up the tall. She had to give up the dark and definitely gave up the handsome. Hallelujah. 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 But you got it, because the word of God still makes me handsome. Hallelujah. Ooh, Jesus. Isn't this wonderful? Hallelujah. So the Lord said to him, go. So he saw Eliab show up. And as soon as Samuel, the prophet, saw Eliab, he said, surely the anointed of the Lord. This is a man who was already known God. He's already known God. The Lord has been revealing himself since he was a child. He's been walking with God. He's been walking, but he's still human. And when he saw that Eliab, he said, surely. He said, I wonder. He said, surely. That is in his head, in his mind. He thought this was it. But what did the Lord say to him? He said, No. Jesse, then he, all of them, you know. Then after a while, he said, thank you. Leave that up there. He says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, this is 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7, is it? But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. What is God saying? God is saying, part of my nature, I don't see how man sees. I don't judge how man judges. I don't make decisions how man makes decisions. Watch this now. It says, for man looketh on the outward appearance. He said, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God sees the heart. God looks on the heart. You can look at someone and disqualify them based on their look, based on what they appear like, or even based on what they sound like. But God can look at that person and say, that is my chosen one. That is the one that I want. This is a man who's been learning the way of God since he was a child. The Lord has been revealing. Well, apparently, he's an older man now. He's an older prophet now. And the Lord has been revealing. He has been continually. You read that scripture. He said continually he revealed himself. But now he's an older prophet. He's still judging by what he sees. Apparently, he didn't know everything about God. Apparently, he didn't know everything. There is always so much more to learn. Oh, come on now, people. Come on. No matter how long you have been doing it, no matter how long you have been walking with him, this prophet who has been receiving revelation after revelation after revelation of God, he gets to Jesse's house He still missed it. And God had to reveal a new part that Samuel didn't know. It was a new revelation for Samuel. Hallelujah. And then, of course, they brought in the right man. So the Lord reveals himself through his word. And the closer we get to the word, the easier it is for us to get that revelation of God. Let's look at a couple more scriptures before we take communion today. I don't even know if I'm going to read that Genesis 15 because of time. Look at Moses. We've been studying a little bit about Moses. Look at the prayer that Moses prayed. Now, I don't want to take any time giving you any kind of background information. Let's just read Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. And let's look at verse 14. Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14. And he said, God said to Moses, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Was that verse 14? let's back up. Let's go to verse 13. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee. This is Moses speaking to the Lord. If I have found grace in your sight, can you all read that next line within that next phrase? If I have found grace in your sight, let's read that next phrase together. Show me now thy way. Can we all read that again together? Show me now thy way. Let's do it together one more time. Show me now thy way. Why is that important? Why does Moses want to know his way? I'll tell you. Because right after those words we all just read, then he says some other words. Let's read those next few words together. That I may know you. So Moses is saying, show me your way so that I may know you. So the more of God's ways you learn, the more you know God. The more of God's ways you learn, the more you know God. Now I understood why the Lord kind of arrested us earlier this year. Because if you were there in our watch night service, I started going on talking about divine dunamis and the divine nature and of course we eventually led into divine everything. I was just going to get into in January, start blasting off talking about divine everything. And in that service, in the watch night service, somehow the Lord brought this Psalms 91 verse 14 and we started reading and it says, because he has set his love upon me, I will. Can you put that up for me, please? Psalm 91. Let's read verse 13 and 14. Thank you. Verse 14 is good. Verse 14 is good. Thank you. Verse 14. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him up on high because he has known my name. Now, the Lord brought that scripture because I didn't have it before that service. But the more I've delved into it, the more I've dug into it, I've come to learn and come to find out. See, us believers, people, human beings, God's people, God's children, we want to see his works. We want to see how God works. That's why we major on the power of God and all the things God can do. How the deliverables, if you want to call it that way. We major on the power, what God's power can do, how he can deliver us, how he can help us, how he can give us favor, and how he can, yeah, and all of that is great. There's nothing wrong with it. The problem, though, is these are two different things. God's way is different from God's works. You can see God's works without knowing God's way. You can actually see God in operation in people's lives in different situations, and everybody knows this is God working, but you may not know God's way, so you may not be able to reproduce what God did in somebody else's life. You may not be able to reproduce what God did in somebody else's life. Because that's why we major. You see, a lot of our things, even, you know, a lot of our writings, a lot of our message, we talk about 7 steps to this and 4 keys to that. And it is true. The problem is, Jesus raised his disciples not to always come back to him to get fish. He raised them to be able to get fish themselves. He raised them to be able to, everything that made him a miracle working God, Jesus gave to his disciples so that after he was gone, they could reproduce every single thing that he had. And you know, immediately after Jesus, immediately started happening. Peter was able to tell the people, listen, the reason you see this man, lame man from whatever is risen, it's not because of us. It's because of Jesus. You see, he taught them and they knew what to do. Yeah. When there was a Tabitha, I think is the name of that young whatever. Was it Tabitha? That was the Lord. And then in Peter's own experience, I think it was that chapter 11, chapter whatever that chapter is in Acts, Dorcas. Well, Peter did exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did to raise up that little girl when Jesus raised up Tabitha. He put all the people that were crying, all the people that were, you know, they were mourning, he put them all out. Get rid of all the unbelief and all the doubt in the room. Then he took a few key people that could stand with him in faith. Then he spoke and raised up that child. Well, Peter was there when Jesus did that. So then, what's that chapter in Acts? Thank you. See, all this, I didn't plan, I'm sorry. Chapter 9, thank you. You see, Peter did exactly this. He put them all forth. All the people, give us the previous verse. What, all the people that were crying and showing what Dorcas had done. And, you know, the widow stood by him weeping, showing the clothes and garments. And this is exactly what, when Jesus got into that place where Tabitha was, all these people were crying and Jesus put them all out. Eliminate all doubt and unbelief. Right? It was not personal. It's not because he didn't like some of them. It's not because he didn't want to hang out with them. It's not because, no. Something needs to happen right here, right now. And what we need is faith. And those that can pull together in faith. Oh, Jesus. Those that can pull together in faith. So that the access that God needs to walk, he has that access. Well, Peter learned God's ways from Jesus. He didn't just see the works. He didn't just see him raise Tabitha. He learned God's ways. And because he learned God's ways, he was able to repeat and reproduce the exact same miracle. See, when we know God's ways, we can do anything that God has ordained. That's why. So you see that scripture where in Exodus 33, where Moses said, show me your way so that I can know you. I want to know you. Now, I want you to look at, hold that place. We're going to stop here and take communion. Hold that there and then go to Psalms 103. Hallelujah. Look at Psalm 103 and look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. Psalm 103 and verse 7. What does he say? He made known his ways unto Moses and then his acts unto the children of Israel. There are two different things. Yes. There are two different things. He made known his ways to Moses and then his acts or his works. You remember the children of Israel? They used to tell Moses, you go and talk to God. And when Moses comes back and the glory of God is on his face, they will put something to cover it so that they can't, because they say, just tell us, what did he say? Then they will stand in the entrances of their door, far away from Moses. Say, what did the Lord say? Then Moses will tell them, he said this, he says, okay, go back again, ask him, what next after that? Then Moses will go, they will stand in that door. They never will leave that door. They will never leave that door. Because they were satisfied with somebody else discovering God's ways on their behalf. They were satisfied. As long as Moses always brought the message, they were happy. He showed his ways to Moses. It didn't take long before God started saying, Moses is my friend. I talk to him as a man speaks to his friend. He didn't say that about any of the other people. So let's know his ways. Let's take communion. It's 1 o'clock. Sorry, I can't read Genesis 15. I can't go through our literature. Hallelujah. As we take communion, get yourself ready. Please back there. Put up for me Isaiah 55 verse 8. Thank you so much. Look at verse 8, Isaiah 55. What does it say? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Next verse. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Go on. Now, I want you to pay attention to this. Because he's talking about his ways and he's talking about his thoughts. And then he comes to this verse where he says, for as the rain that comes down and the snow from heaven that does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Next verse. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So, where are his ways and his thoughts revealed? Verse 11, so shall my word be. So his ways and his thoughts are revealed in his word. So shall my word be. And he says, my word will never return to me void. So when I say to you, you will have divine everything, I'm telling you, you will have divine everything. In that transaction, though, do you have a responsibility? Yes. What is your responsibility? Know my ways and know my thoughts. Connect with me at the level of my supernatural. Know my ways, know my thoughts. Know my ways, know my thoughts. How do you do that? Through the revelation of his word. Through the revelation of his word. Amen. Amen. Through the revelation of his word. Amen. Through the revelation of his word. Amen. Make up your mind day after day. This year, day after day, the word of God will not be a religious object to you. This is how God speaks to you. You are going to find answers in the Word of God. You are going to find direction in the Word of God. You are going to find decision-making graces in the Word of God. And when you do, and you hold on closely with every decision, listen to me now, don't take anything for granted. With every decision you make, go to the Word. Don't be telling me all this bamboozle nonsense stuff somebody said and this one did and that. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Get in the Word. You can tell me, oh, well, you know, this person did that and I know it worked out well. You don't know that. You don't know it worked out well. Because you didn't see the end of the story. You saw the part of the story that they let you see. Have you noticed? People can tell you things, but they are selective in what they tell you. Yes. It's true. That's what it is. They are very selective. They will tell you what they want you to see. Yeah. Later on, though, you will come and see the full story. You will see, because eventually that full story has to come out. Mm-hmm. So, this Word is what guarantees that your full story will align with His promises. Your own full story. It has to. It has to. It has to. Any other way is short-lived blessing. You don't want it. You don't want it. Say, I don't want it. Say it again. Say, I don't want it. Say, I want the one from the Word. I want the one that is guaranteed, perpetual, established, permanent, forever. That's what I want. That's what I want. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I want you to listen to me. No matter what is going on in your life at any point in time this year, I want you to cultivate the habit of giving God superlative praise. Regardless of what you see, regardless of what you hear, regardless of the reports that you have been given, regardless of what you've heard, no matter how credible the source of the information is, I want you constantly, continually, to set apart time to give Him superlative praise. Unbridled gratitude. You know what that is? That is praise at a higher level, gratitude that flows endlessly. Praise at a higher level, gratitude that flows endlessly. In fact, take it a step further. Make sure in 2022, there is no week that passes you by where you do not set apart some time for superlative praise and unbridled gratitude. That you get before the Lord, you wear your street clothes or wear your play clothes, something that allows you, if you need to roll on the ground, if you need to whatever, something where you will not be embarrassed, something that you are confident in this is where I am before the Lord. I don't care about what anybody thinks. And then get before the Lord and give Him superlative praise. Praise Him till it looks like you've lost everything. Praise Him till it feels like you are not even conscious of what you are. You just praise Him like you lost your mind. Just praise Him. And then unbridled gratitude. Let this be closer to your heart than it has ever been, what the Lord has already done for you. You don't need to go searching for it. You don't need to go digging up for it. Let it be close to your heart always, what the Lord has done for you. If somebody woke you up from sleep right out of your mouth, you can declare five major things the Lord has done for you. Give him unbridled gratitude. I'm telling you, folks, on the authority of the word of God, we're human and we're going to live normal human lives. We're going to carry out our activities, our assignments. We're going to live normal. We're not going to be spooky or act weird or anything like that. But I'm telling you, folks, on the authority of the word of God, that you are going to see God this year like you haven't seen him ever before. You are going to see God, the manifestation of God, like you have never seen him before. And a lot of it will be public. It won't be hidden. He will do it in such a way that it cannot be hidden. The world will see it. Even though you are not trying to tell the world will see it. The world will see it. And when the world sees it, they will say, that is God. There's no doubt about it. That is God. There's no controversy. That is God. He's the one at work here. He's the one showing up and showing out. He's the one taking the glory. He's taking the praise. Taking the glory, taking the praise. You are going to see healings. 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 Restoration. 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 You are going to see God shrink time and you are going to see him stretch time. You are going to see God shrink time and you are going to see him stretch time. Things that are difficult for the human mind to conceive, he will do. God will do amazing. God will do amazing. That which will cause the ears of men to tingle. And people would say, whoa, what a wonder. Whoa, what a wonder. Whoa, what a wonder. Whoa, what a wonder. You will see the workings of God. Where there can be no debate about it. There can be no argument about it. But give him superlative praise. Give him unbridled gratitude. That is what he deserves. He does not deserve any less. Make up your mind. If God never did anything additional in your life, you will never stop praising him. You will never stop thanking him. If he never, then that will not be so. But make up your mind that even if you never saw God do anything additional in your life, you will never stop praising him. You will never stop thanking him. An instrument of praise this year. You will be an instrument of his praise this year. You will be an instrument of his praise this year. You will be an instrument of his praise this year. You will be an instrument of his praise this year. Praise, 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 praise will be oozing out. Praise will be oozing out consciously, subconsciously, knowingly, unknowingly. Praise will be oozing out. Praise will be oozing out of your life, of your life, of your life. You will see glory. I say you will see glory. Glory will not just knock on your door, it will come into your house. It will not just visit you for one day. It will dwell in your home. It will not just dwell in your home. It will go everywhere with you. When you show up, glory will show up. People will see the evident hand of God's glory upon your life. In the name of Jesus. You will be a carrier of the divine presence. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You will be a carrier of solutions. You will be a carrier of answers. You will be productive and fruitful. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Fresh life. Fresh life. Fresh life will attest to every situation of your life. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I hear that you receive a boost of God in your destiny. A boost, a supernatural boost of God in your destiny. Everything that was low receives a boost of God in your destiny. Everything that was low receives a boost of God in your destiny. In the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus. You will shine. 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 The works of your hands will prosper. The works of your hands will prosper. God will approve of you. He will show up in the midnight hour. God will speak up for you. In the name of Jesus. God will declare his counsel regarding your life. And the world will hear it. The world will see it. Everybody will know that the evident hands of God are upon your life. There will be no debate about it. There will be no controversy about it. In the name of Jesus Christ. You will bring forth. You will bring forth. You have been pregnant with that vision for so long. You will bring forth. You will bring forth. And not one, but double. 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 For every shame, God will give you double honor. For every shame, God will give you double honor. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, go on and rejoice in the Lord. 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 Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say to you, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say to you, rejoice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.